Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Shadows are peeled from ancient stone walls by shaking candlelight. Swords, white gloves, aprons, a mysterious chalice. All that Freemason shit. Also, this is a flashback, so just pretend that it says 15 years ago or something like that at the bottom of the screen. There are 3 degrees a Mason can obtain along their journey. Entered Apprentice, Fellowcraft, and Master Mason. At each level, a Mason initiate will learn new secrets about the Freemason Brotherhood. But first, they must swear their loyalty to protecting these secrets.
I solemnly promise to guard all the secrets I learn here, binding myself under no less a penalty than that of having my throat cut from ear to ear, my tongue torn out by its roots, and with my body buried in the rough sands of the sea, should I ever knowingly or willingly violate this, my most solemn obligation as a Master Mason. What? Did I forget something?
Possibly.
Throat cut ear to ear, buried in the sea, tongue torn out by its roots. What did I miss?
Having my left breast torn open.
Right, got it.
Furthermore?
Should I just jump back in where I left off, or should we run it all back to the beginning?
Furthermore?
Just picking up where I left off. Having my left breast torn open, my heart taken thence and given to the vultures of the air. Having my body severed in twain, my bowels taken thence and with my body burned to ashes. And those ashes scattered to the four winds, so that there might remain no trace nor remembrance, should I ever knowingly or willingly violate this, my most solemn obligation as a Master Mason.
Who here has a question to ask this stone?
If you see an owl, then...
I will warn the owl of any danger.
I appreciate your enthusiasm, Initiate, but please allow your brother to ask the entire question before responding. Get level.
Right. Apologies. Level.
Let us continue. Who else here has a question to ask this stone?
If a Mason were missing, where would you hope to find him?
Between the square and compass.
And why there?
Because by acting on one, he would be sure to be found within the other.
Who tried to cut your throat with the 2-foot rule?
The first assassin.
Where were you when that fella tried to cut your throat?
At the South Gate.
What does a beehive tell you?
To be industrious.
Which gate did they carry you out when they carried you to the trash pile?
The West Gate.
When were you found to be missing?
At Low 6.
What can bees teach a mason?
You already asked that one?
It's different.
It's not.
It is different.
Well, the response is exactly the same, isn't it? So, if anything, I think we can all agree that it's a bit ridiculous. To be industrious. It means to be industrious.
When there's a member of your party in need,
I will be there or I will be square.
Do you have anything to give in the name of charity?
No.
Were you deprived of everything prior to entering the lodge?
Yes.
What time of day did you lose your life?
At high noon.
How many times have you been buried?
3 times.
From what were you raised?
From a superficial flat to a living sphere.
Who raised you?
The worshipful master.
Where do you stand?
I stand on water, black, dark, and infinite.
What's beneath you?
I have no knowledge of what is beneath me.
What do you conceal?
All of the secrets instructed to me.
Where do you conceal them?
In a safe repository, neither metal nor wood.
Where is this repository?
In the pectoral region.
How can you smile in the face of death?
We have one pass through this world. Any good I can do, any kindness I can show, I will show it. I will smile back.
Should you ever meet an owl in distress?
I will treat him. I will protect him.
Louder!
I will treat him. I will protect him.
See that you do. Brother Clay, let me congratulate you on leveling Nest in concert. Amen.
What comes next?
I want you to know that was almost perfect timing.
That wall moves.
See what I mean? That would have been pretty sweet if the timing had matched up with your question. Hidden doors and secret passageways are only the beginning. At this level, you'll also get access to our secret bowling alley, the Masonic Lanes.
Wait, the Masonic Lanes are real? I'd heard rumors, but I thought it to be a metaphor for wasteful budgetary spending.
Yes, the Masonic Lanes are quite real, as is my league record, 279.
Impressive.
Now one day I will regale you with the tale of how I conquered a Greek church.
A Greek what?
Oh, my apologies, I thought you were a 10-pin man. A Greek church is a 4-6-7-9-10 split. See, what you do is aim for the 6-pin, give it all you've got, and send that cheeky bastard bouncing off the 9-pin. The 9-pin's gonna take out his best mate, Mr. Tenor, and they're both gonna cross the deck and mix it up with the 7 and the 4, and before you know it, 279. There's much more to the story, but today isn't about my 10-pin alley excellence. No. Today is about the raising of Walter Clay. Come, Walter. It's time for you to take your seat in the East.
As Walt and the worshipful Master Mason enter the secret passageway, the wall slides to a close behind them.
This next part has never before been written about in any of the official or unofficial Freemason texts. When it comes to the secrets held by our brotherhood, this is one of the juicy ones.
You're making me nervous.
Oh, here, drink this goat blood. It'll help you calm down.
What?
Just kidding. See, we can have fun around here too. Here, we have a table. And on this table are 5 stone rings.
Yep. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Uh-huh.
Study these rings. Focus on them. But don't just look at them. Establish a connection. And let me know when one speaks to you.
I like this one.
Oh, yes, but what did it say to you?
It says... I think the eye here tells me that we should be ever awake to any opportunities of doing good.
What else does it have to say? Anything about gravity or calculus?
Well, my ring friend here also says that knowledge is important. It will help us stay grounded, humble, and square.
Well, that doesn't sound like him, but okay. Walt, I cannot overstate the importance of this ring and the soul inside it. If this is your final decision, you will need to keep it on you at all times. Never allow the ring to leave your possession, even if for a moment.
Walt slides the ring onto his hand.
Oh, look at that. It fits. Sorta.
It doesn't.
Woohoo!
The stone ring wiggles loose on Walt's finger.
I should probably have it resized.
No, Walter! You must never let the ring leave your possession, even for a moment. I was literally just saying that. Were you not listening?
The worshipful Master Mason takes Walt by the hand, gripping Walt's knuckle just above the ring.
Once you leave this lodge with that ring, it becomes your ward. Do not ever lose it, Walter Clay of 716 Durham Drive, St. Louis, Missouri. Walter Clay, who always sits down to urinate.
How did you?
We're the Freemasons. We have our ways.
But there's nothing wrong with that, by the way.
Walter, you must know that if you lose this ring, we'll be required by Mason Oath to do some pretty disturbing stuff to you.
Like what?
Well, for starters, we'll chop your toes off.
For starters?
Yeah, for starters. It gets a whole lot worse from there.
Well, I guess I'll be sure not to lose it then. My toes or the ring.
This time I am being serious, though.
Two Flat Earthers Kidnap a Freemason. Episode 3. And Everyone Clapped. Written and created by Jeremy Ellert. Starring Matthew Woodcock, Jack Carmichael, Mike Paul, Cornelius Moore, Brandon Finch, Christian Lawrence, Jordan Stillman, Gabrielle Adkins, Ariel Hack, Phil Sherwood, Stephen Indrisano, Ezra J. Wayne, Torian Brackett, Claire Gaskell, Sox Whitmore, Josh Rubino, Abby Espiritu. Two Flat Earthers Kidnap a Freemason is a work of serialized fiction. If this is your first time joining us, please go back and start with episode 1.
I hope you've all enjoyed our trip around the world of Clark Communications. So, are you ready to join the Clark Communications family?
It's okay. That never really gets much of a response. My name's Judith Jackson, but you can call me Judy, JJ, or Miss Jackson, if you're nasty. Clap again. Great. Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you. Joining us today for your orientation is our very special guest, Walter Clay from Human Resources. Come on up here, Walter.
Hello, everyone. My name is Walter Clay, but you can call me Walt, or Mr. Clay if you're nasty. Okay, how about we just stick with Walt then? In front of each of you should be a copy of our handbook, the Clark Communications Code of Conduct, Ethics, No-Nos, and Grey Area Mapping.
And I want you to take that handbook and set it to the side, because first, we're going to have some fun.
Now, why would you call me up here just to...
As you can see, every table has a set of magic markers. This, of course, can only mean one thing. We're going to make some introduction posters and get to know each other. So come grab a poster board, then take the next half hour or so to draw a poster describing yourself, your family, hobbies, fun stories, prior work experience. Whatever you think of when you think of yourself is what I want to see on that poster. And once we're all done, we're going to go around the room and show off our posters. Even Mr. Clay is going to make one. Yeah, so much fun. Everybody clap. Take a seat, Mr. Clay.
Walt takes a seat at a nearby table and reaches for a black marker. In all caps, he confidently writes his name, Walt. Then, Walt in all caps spends the next few minutes completely dumbfounded as to what to draw next. He's surrounded by the sound of markers squeaking and scratching against paper, the sound of lives being filled in. Using a blue marker, Walt draws two stick figures and an animal. A parent, a child, and a really shitty picture of a horse. The horse on Walt's poster is named Meow Meow. We'll meet them soon enough. The child in the picture is Walt's daughter, Darby.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
This is Derby Clay. You know what to do.
Hey, Derbster. It's Dad. Just wanted to remind you about my thing tonight. For the book. I'll text you the details in case you want to come. You used to love to listen to me read stories, right? It'd be just like that. But in a bookstore. With strangers, and you'll need to stay awake. Listen, I'm...
Welcome to Smallwood Books. Today we're having a sale on romantic cryptid alternate history fiction.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, Amari. Bad news, we're both going to be stuck closing with Steve tonight.
What? No, I thought I was supposed to be doing nothing tonight.
Right? Same. So, did you watch it or what?
What?
The show I was telling you about, Handcuffed at First Sight, did you watch it?
No.
This season is so good. One of the couples is really cute, and they had instant chemistry, so it's fun to watch them, like, fall in love or whatever. Another couple, the girl is an animal dentist or something like that, and the guy grew up in a cult that worshipped seesaws. Welcome to Smallwood Books. Today we're having a sale on romantic cryptid alternate history fiction and...
Are you for real?
I am for real.
Sign me up for some of that. You have made my day.
No problem. Let me know if you need any help finding anything.
It is dead today.
Steve's been playing Smashed Potatoes for the past 2 hours.
I'm on level 26.
Wait, level what?
Smash 'em.
And lastly, I'm a writer. My novel is called The Centaur, published by Rope and Hammer.
Is it a fantasy novel?
I can see why you might think that, because of the title, being the centaur and all, but no, it's, you might call it a modern western of sorts. It's a story about a jockey and a gang who will pay dearly for stealing the jockey's horse. Last thing I'll say is that if any of you are interested in hearing more, I'll be having an official author reading event and book signing tonight at Smallwood Books. I'd love to see you there. Any of you? You're all invited. 7 p.m.
Very cool. Let's all clap for Mr. Clay. Yeah. Yeah.
Walt, you headed out?
Well, it's about that time, innit?
Hey, what do you got going on tonight?
Not a whole lot. Probably just hanging out, watching TV. Why, what's up?
Well, my novel just came out, and...
Hey, congratulations! The one about the jockey and his horse or whatever, right?
Yeah, that's the one.
That's really cool, man. Most people don't follow through on stuff like that.
Hard part is over with, that's for sure. I have to say, though, it was pretty cool getting to cut open that box from the publisher and seeing my book as, like, a real book. Well, anyway, the reason I brought it up was because I'm having a reading at Smallwood Books, and it starts at 7 p.m. tonight, if you'd like to come.
Yeah. I'll see what I can do, for sure. As long as you don't forget about the rest of us when you're a famous writer.
Welcome back to Death Row Has Talent. Today we're going to be discussing the poetry of the shoemaker killer, Joseph Kellinger.
You know, Peter, I've been reading some of this, and I've gotta say, it's really not that bad. Here, this one's called The Unicorn in the Garden. When I was a little boy, my adopted parents killed the unicorn in my garden. The nightingale died too, and the lilacs and the roses perished. I wanted to be an actor, playing with the unicorn in my garden, but they said, you will be a shoemaker like your father.
forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
This is Derby Clay. You know what to do.
No, I mean my book. What do you think of it? Did you read it?
I told you I only read books on Kindle now.
And I told you it's on the fucking Kindle now.
Well, I'm getting around to it, okay? I've been getting really into this Space Dracula series lately, so that's taking up most of my reading time.
Space Dracula? Are you serious? You'd rather read Space Dracula than something your own brother wrote?
Yeah, but you're not, like, an actual writer.
There are at least 22 people on Amazon who disagree with you.
Right. And how many of those reviews are from you?
Just 3.
One of those is a negative 1-star review, so it's not like you can count that one. Especially when they called your writing beyond unbearable.
Evie, you read the 1-star reviews for my book, but you won't read my book. Like, what kind of monster are you?
Well, I wanted to see how you were doing.
Oh, fuck off. Didn't think to leave me a positive one, maybe balance it out.
Now, Walter, that wouldn't be ethical now, would it?
Well, this might be the first time I've ever heard you concern yourself with what is or isn't ethical. All right, I'm about to head in. You need to go to sleep.
Oh, don't worry about me. My sleep schedule is all kind of fucked up already. Well, break a leg or whatever it is I'm supposed to say.
Mortimer's hometown had been lost to the worn-down white fault lines on the map. The creek beds were the first thing to dry up, but they were soon followed by the alcohol, money, and opportunities. This was the way of life in Ashwood.
Within a page, Walt was down to an audience of 10, then 5, then 3, then 1, then none. The silence continued until Amari, an employee of Smallwood Books, entered the room and began folding up the chairs.
Hey, hold on now. I'm supposed to be having a professional author reading / book signing in here any minute.
Oh, my bad. I just thought that since there was no one in here...
I'm still warming up. It's not actually supposed to start for another few minutes.
The poster right next to you says 7 to 8, and it's 7:45 p.m.
Please, just sit for a moment. And at 8, I'll be finished, and I'll help you clear out all the chairs.
You want me to just sit here and listen to you read your book because no one else came?
No, that's not it.
Then what's happening here?
Just sit down. For those first 5 years, Mortimer was forced to give up on his dream. Even in a world where he thought he'd excel, there were still many better men, all much more fit to ride the horse.
Is this one of those sex books?
No, there's no sex in this book.
No sex at all? Like, not even a romantic subplot. People love reading about other people fucking. Paranormal fucking, mystery fucking, fantasy fucking. Every section of this place is just, you know, romance books.
I'll give you 10 bucks and a free copy of my book if you just sit quietly and listen.
Sounds good. Don't worry about the book.
Well then, let me just figure out where I left off. Life as an apprentice jockey tended to drag on and on. The work was hard and isolating, and many times Mortimer questioned whether or not it was worth it. Being this far away from life and still being this far away from the action, how could it be worth it? Suddenly, Meow Meow, one of the older mares, collapsed in the... Can you please get off your phone?
I'm listening.
Right, then what did I say?
Something about dragons. But I really couldn't tell because you were mumbling.
There are no dragons in this book. It's about a jockey and a horse and a crime syndicate and friendship. And I wasn't mumbling.
No sex and no dragons? Who is this book for?
Such an innocuous line, but it guts Walt. And for a moment, he doesn't have a response.
I dedicated years of my life to this book. Do you see this?
What? The Centaur by Walter Clay. Are you showing me your name?
Well, yes, but it's not just that. It's the foil. Look, the raised impressions. Here, do you see the way the letters pop off the dust jacket? I can feel the raised impression of my own name on my own book. And that title, that's...
That's really cool. I get it. You're important, and your horse book is important too.
I'm not saying I'm important. What I'm saying is that this story means something to me because it is me. I wrote this. I crafted it with my brain, my fingers, my...
And in doing so, you think that makes you important, right?
No, not necessarily. But I mean a little bit, I guess. Maybe to some people. Somewhere.
Just not here.
Exactly! Exactly.
Can I start folding up these empty chairs now?
Oh, hold on, I'll help. This might sound a little weird, but can I ask you to do me one more favour? Ah, there you are. Brilliant.
Here you go, Walter Clay. 12 copies of The Centaur written by Walter Clay.
Thank you. So far, I found this to be the most embarrassing part of being a published writer.
Having to buy the unsold copies of your book?
Yeah, I mean...
Well, we're about to close.
Right. Well, thank you, Amari. I know I'm a bit awkward, but I do want you to know that I appreciate this favour you've done for me.
Hey, Walter. Hold up.
Yes?
Do I still get a free copy of your book?
I just might have an extra copy or two on me.
Walt perks up. This has made his day.
You know what? There we are. Autographed first edition of The Centaur for free. Thanks again, Amari. Take care.
You too, Will.
Hey, Amari, hold up. Sure you don't need a ride?
I'm good.
Really, it's not a problem. I'm already giving Steve a ride.
Nah, I appreciate it. But my stop is close, and...
Hey, would you look at that? I've leveled up.
What's he talking about?
That new game, Smashed Potatoes. I already deleted it.
Couldn't keep up?
I'm not gonna listen to someone leveling up all day while I can't get past the Dirt Box level.
Well, anyway.
Please be careful. Everyone knows the streets of St. Louis are crawling with weirdos.
Steve, you are on fire today, my man.
See what I mean?
It's late. The bus is empty. From a few seats back, a strange woman moves to the seat in front of Amari. Once seated, she immediately peers back over the top of the seat at her.
And if you'd like to hear more of the amazing talent held by the worst killers of all time, please subscribe to the pod, throw us a rating review on Apple Podcasts, and be sure to set up a monthly recurring donation to our Patreon page. If it would save your people or get a revolutionary achievement, if it would save someone's life or build this movement, you should do whatever you are asked to do. Is that not right? I saw too few amens of that down here in this front section. What the fuck's the matter down here?
Hey, boss babe. I wanted to reach out and let you know about this new business opportunity. If you have a minute, I'd love to share some information with you.
No thanks. I'm good.
Are you sure? You could earn your current yearly salary in a week or more. It's a life-changing opportunity that I'd really hate for you to miss out on.
I appreciate what you're trying to do. Really, I do. Can't knock the hustle. But I need you to just give me some space.
Not only can I give you space, I can also give you the promise of a better future. Today.
Like I said, I can appreciate the hustle. And that's exactly why I don't want you wasting your energy on me.
Well, I appreciate your honesty. I just realized I never got your name.
We begin our journey surrounded by symbols and strangers. We are all forced to interpret the world within the limits of our own subjective understanding. We all willingly wear a blindfold that was a gift from someone we trusted. Try to keep that in mind as we go along.
Tick-tock goes the clock. Tick-tock, a ticky-tock. Tick-tock goes the clock, I wait for you.
Two Flat Earthers Kidnap a Freemason. Written and created by Jeremy Ellett. Actor direction by Danielle Ellett. The opening and closing theme for Two Flat Earthers are both by Glad Rags. Additional music provided by Louis Zong. Special thanks to our associate producers, Newt Shuddlecoddy, Daniel Naruta, and Anthony Sigmund Lowry. Be sure to check out our other shows, The Subjective Truth and The One Stars. If you'd like to help Good Point make more weird audio fiction, then visit patreon.com/goodpoint. If you enjoyed listening to this episode of Two Flat Earthers Kidnap a Freemason, please leave us a rating, review, codex, or riddle on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts. Stay tuned, because after today's episode, we'll be bringing you a sneaky preview of another show we love. And as always, if you know the true secrets of the Freemasons, you'd better keep that shit to yourself.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Now playing from Voyage Media.
A naked woman picked up the recently decapitated head of a goat that had been sitting in a large silver-colored bowl. She held the goat's head high above hers, its dull black eyes staring emptily as she threw her black hair and allowed the blood to trickle down the front of her body.
When the lights go down, what stories really stick with you? Presenting Fever Dreams, an anthology of dark genre stories, horror, crime, sci-fi.
My eyes settled on a crystal piece, the only thing hanging on any of the walls. A man's face, set inside a raging sun. The eyes started to glow.
Now playing from Voyage Media, in association with Seven Lamb Productions, creators of the hit audio drama Tower 4. A new descent into darkness in every episode. Season 1 of Fever Dreams, a pulp collection. Available anywhere you listen to podcasts.